This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Christopher John again.
We're here again, 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. Tomasa decided to go on vacation. Could you believe that?
It's great to be here. He deserves it.
I'm not going to go that far.
You ought to take a cue from him, you know?
Anyway, we have a guest tonight, Christopher.
We do.
You want to tell everybody who our guest is?
Yeah, I'd love to. Jeff Higdon is a lawyer in Towson, and he's been a business colleague and a friend for 25 years.
25 years. And, you know, let me add to that a little, okay? He is a lawyer, and we're going to talk about legal things tonight.
Yeah.
But he's actually my lawyer.
There you go.
You know? I mean, I would actually
and
consider...
And proud to be.
And I... Now, what did I have to pay you to say that?
We'll talk about that.
And I actually, you know, he's actually my lawyer. When I have an issue, legal thing, I go to Jeff. He's one of the first people I go to. Or one of my guys, you know, Mike and Tom or Chuck, if they need something, they're going to go to Jeff first and say, you know, hey, this is the issue going on. What do we do? So,
and we've been hiding him for all these years because he's not been on the show before, right?
He's been afraid. He tells me, I've asked him to come on, and he's, I ain't going on that job.
He's been busy.
Yeah, he's been busy. And when I told him that we're going to tell him what we're going to talk about tonight, he really got panicked. And so now he's finally hearing what we're going to talk about tonight.
Jeff. I have a message from your assistant that says, just be prepared for everything. Thank you.
Yeah, he writes to my assistant, Rachel, and he says, you know, what are we going to talk about tonight? What should I be prepared for?
Fair question.
Rachel writes to me, Jeff wants to know what we're going to talk about tonight. I said, anything.
Actually, and more precisely, she said some area of estate planning, but she wouldn't be more specific. So now we're even more generic.
Yes, you are going to be
generic. I want to let you know that I have not studied for the bar exam since 1981. I think it was July.
Don't worry, Jeff. We'll keep you in the realm.
That would have been the best time to have me on the show, by the way.
But, you know, one of the things about you that I think is interesting is you're still what you would still consider one of the general practitioners to some degree. There is no such thing, I guess, really, unless you're in a small town. But would you say it's true to some degree?
It's true to some. I would say about 75% of what we do is estate planning, but 25% most definitely is everything else.
Yeah, but
that's a little unusual.
That's a little unusual nowadays.
That's true.
You know, that's why I can call you up and say, "Hey, I've got an employee question. Hey, I've got a traffic question. I don't have traffic questions. Chris has traffic questions.
Well, we can talk about those for sure.
Yeah, and so forth. So, you know, I think it's great that you can, you know, that there are lawyers out there that still do a little bit of everything, and they're not just, you can only call me about an estate question. I got to pass you on to Attorney Jones across the hall here to talk about, you know, corporate law and so forth. You do a lot of corporate law, right?
We do. We find it more interesting, actually, to be able to counsel on all types of law, so gets us through the day.
And, you know, the WCBM, interestingly, is a radio station that has a lot of business owners. So that's an interesting part. So we might ask some corporate tax questions or corporate law questions.
Oh, I thought you just wanted me to hand out cards when I left.
You could. But anyway, let's start off with estate planning, because that's always a big one. Like you say, 75% of your practice is estate planning. And, you know, one of the interesting things is how many people come in to see us, and they're in their 40s or 50s, and they have children that are in college or something, and have never written a will.
It's very common. I would say probably half of the clients that we meet have never signed a power of attorney, an advance directive, a will, a revocable trust, or anything close to an estate planning document.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of them feel like they have sort of planned their estate already because they've named beneficiaries on just about everything, and they've named contingent beneficiaries.
I don't think they think it out that well, Jeff.
I had a client one time who absolutely insisted that as long as he didn't write a will, he would not die. And I had to assure him that I've actually handled estates where people did not have wills and they were most definitely dead.
I think it is. I think that's it. I don't think people just don't want to think about death and dying. And I think people who are young don't feel they're going to die.
I think going to the estate planning lawyer is almost as bad as going to the funeral home and picking out your casket. So we're right. I think that
Which most 30, 40, 50 year olds don't do.
They're not going to think about.
They're not going to. They're going to do that maybe if they're 85 or 90.
That's right.
But they're not going to do it when they're 40 or 50 years of age.
And incidentally, some of the questions that we have to deal with, other than just who are you going to leave it to and who are you going to name, actually involves what is your funeral going to be like and how do you feel about living wills and how do you feel about everything that surrounds the dying process. And these are things that we have to get into.
So. Look, I don't think that a 40 or 50 year old ought to be going to a funeral home and picking out their making arrangements for it. But to write a simple document, a will, that says who's going to take care of my children. If you have children, I tell people this all the time, if you have children and you haven't written a will, that's probably one of the most greatest acts of children negligence you could, to your children you could do. Because you know what they're going to do? They're going to choose Uncle Harry to take care of the kids.
Yeah, and I guilt definitely brings them in once that very frequently.
I'm good at guilt. I'm Italian.
Well, very, very frequently people will come in when they have their first child. So these are people in their 20s and 30s that do come in. But we have just as many, as I've said, that, 50s, 60s, 70s who have never even thought about it before.
So explain. I got only half a minute left, and then we can do more afterward.
Absolutely.
But explain to the young clients or to the guy out there who has a kid who just had a child, why not having a will when you're young with children is a problem. It's a big problem.
It's a problem because you're going to leave it up. If you both, husband and wife, both die, whether it's at the same time or shortly one after the other, and you don't have a will, then somebody else is going to decide who's going to take care of your children. Somebody else is going to decide who's going to raise those children, and it's probably going to be a judge of the circuit court.
Family comes together and says, hey, we agree you ought to take care of the kids. But that's not happened. That doesn't happen very well.
Does not.
Have you ever had a fight?
Over guardian, I don't know that we have when we've been involved in guardianships, which is not very frequently. Usually you're right, and usually everything does tend to be agreed upon. But why would you want to take that chance? It's interesting. I mean, you have to come up with one choice for a guardian in that will, and that was hard enough. And then we encourage everybody to come up with an alternate.
Because that is. That is a big reason why people don't write wills is because they're so afraid of how do I choose a guardian, and they don't have a good choice.
And just because you've chosen them doesn't mean they're going to serve.
That's right.
And they may say they're going to serve, and when the time comes up, I don't know what I was thinking.
But if you can't choose who your guardian is, why would you want a judge to make that final decision?
Right, and I don't think the average person actually realizes or has thought of that. But it's not just the guardian. It's also the trustee who's going to be in charge of the money, which may be even a bigger decision.
We're going to talk about that when we come back. Right now, we got to take a pause with traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
See, this is so easy. I'm going to let my guests tell us what this is. Do you know who this band is?
I'm having a senior moment. I absolutely know who this is, and I can't remember who it is.
See, he's as good as I am.
They're the same group that sing Conquistador, right? Am I right? I think I'm right.
Yeah, Chris is shaking his head.
Who's that?
Procol Harum, that's right.
But he told you who it is.
That's right.
So that doesn't count, Jeff.
Okay.
Anyway, we're here.
Am I going to hear about this from everybody I know? I got the Conquistador right, though.
There's probably nobody listening to this right now, okay. Jeff. So your wife, Mary Jo's listening. Okay. She's probably, my wife doesn't listen.
We are back with Money, Riches, and Wealth.
And we're here with Jeff Higdon, and he's my personal lawyer, but one of his areas of expertise is estate planning, and that's where we're starting to talk with. But as we said earlier, Jeff is sort of a unusual breed in that he's sort of a general practitioner. He does a lot of other type of law, even though 70-some percent is estate planning. We're going to talk about other types of law, but right now we're sticking with estate planning. So, Jeff, you know, you definitely need a will when you're young because you want to choose your guardian if you have children, all right? The second reason you're going to want that will is because if your children were orphaned, I hate to, you know, even think about the concept, but if it were to happen, all that money, what happens to it if you don't have a will? And you got two children.
Assuming that the spouse has predeceased you, or both husband and wife die at the same time.
Or it happens when you're orphaned.
Right. So it's going to end up going to the children at a much younger age than perhaps you wanted the money, the property to go to. And
but it's a whole process to get there, right?
It's a very complicated process, and you don't want to go there. And, you know, most of the clients that come into our office want to talk about an age of 25 or 30 or 35 or more when the children will get anything. The income might even start at age 25. But, yeah, you don't have that luxury if you don't have a will.
Because what they're going to, you know, your executor or somebody's going to be appointed as an executor. You're going to die intestate. They're going to have to go and petition a judge. A judge is then going to set the money into courts and oversee it for until the children are what age?
21.
21. And then they're going to give it to them.
Without any strings attached.
In Maryland, they give it to them at 21, not at 18?
It depends on the asset, actually. So it could be that they are receiving some assets at age 18 and some at age 21. So, you know. It also depends on what the beneficiary designations have said as well. So.
And who's the court, who's the judge going to appoint to oversee that money for those children?
It's usually going to be an attorney that is on
not
a list.
Not a grandparent or a brother and sister?
It can be. It can be, but when it comes to a trustee as opposed to the trustee is the one that controls the money. The guardian is going to do the parenting if we're talking about a minor child. But it's not just those that are under 18 that we worry about in this days. I find that most of the parents that come in when they're in their 60s and 70s are still concerned if they've got a child, you know, who's just 30 or just 25. Then, you know, that's a reason to have a will as well.
Or, you know, there's all kinds of reasons, and it's just a simple piece of paper, you know, just a few pieces of paper that you think out some of these things and you sign it.
And I think a lot of people are also concerned about the expense. They don't have an idea.
So what is the typical cost to get your legal documents done?
If you are a couple that do not have estate tax considerations, you don't have special needs trust considerations, you don't have complicated things that you need to do, but you just want to set up a will that will set up a trust for your children no matter what age you might set it, you should be able to get both done in the neighborhood of $800 to maybe $1,250. You should be able to get everything done. That's the average client. Now, when there are estate tax considerations, when there are special needs, when there are special situations.
Special needs, you're referring to a disabled child.
Yes.
Okay.
But also it could also be a situation where you're dealing with a child that has other kind of problems such as alcoholism or bad marriage or a bad business or drug problems or whatever, and that's going to require some additional drafting.
Yeah.
And some additional discussion.
So the typical client's going to say to me, well, what about LegalZoom?
What exactly is that? I'm not sure.
You're having an amnesia moment there, Jeff.
Well, I'm getting old.
LegalZoom.
Okay.
Online wills and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, I've never seen a document drafted by LegalZoom, so I can't really say. But I have seen wills drafted using the services of the Internet. And the idea that you can just skip all the discussion, all the what-ifs.
Even know what the what-ifs are.
And the problem is that people don't know what to ask, and people don't know what to volunteer. I mean, our average meeting with a new estate planning client is about 90 minutes, and most of that is questions and questions from me. And without that ability to do that back and forth, person to person, the likelihood that a questionnaire on the Internet is going to capture everything, I think, is probably pretty slim. But, again, I've never seen the work of LegalZoom, so I can't really comment on it.
Did you have a question? You look like you were going to ask a question, Chris. But if you're not, I got one.
Go for it.
So, you know, another document that a lot of people should talk about is a financial power of attorney. And, you know, normally when I talk to a client about what the benefit of the financial power of attorney is, it allows your spouse to be able to handle the finances as if they're you, they say, all of our assets are joint. What do you have to say to that?
The strong likelihood is that all of the assets are not joint, but what if both of you, husband and wife, get into an automobile accident or are just unavailable? Power of attorney is not just a document that's used when someone gets really sick. It's also a document that's used for convenience purposes. The two of you, husband and wife, are on vacation in Europe and you forgot to sign some tax forms, or it just so happens that the date to do a home equity loan is right in the middle of the settlement was scheduled right in the middle of some sort of family crisis and somebody else has to sign documents for you. It's not just intended to handle situations where people are incompetent, but just so everybody understands, a power of attorney is effective while you're alive and you have a heartbeat. It's of no use once you pass away. The person that serves as power of attorney kind of hands off the baton to your personal representative upon your death. But it's an absolutely critical document, because if you don't have one and you need one, there's going to be a guardianship proceeding, and you're probably going to spend about $10,000, $5,000 for the attorney for the disabled and about $5,000 for the guardian's attorney, and that's assuming everything is agreed upon.
So let's talk about that. You know, you kind of threw that out as if people already knew what you were talking about. So I'm married, and I become disabled, and my wife does not have a power of attorney for me, let's say. Now, I do, because you wrote it for me, but let's say I didn't have one, Jeff. So my wife now has to petition the courts and say, he's disabled, and drag me into court, right? She has to take me into court, and judge has to, you know, and he's going to say, okay, we're going to do some more homework. We're going to see if he really is disabled and decide if we're going to turn guardianship over to you. It might take a month or so, right, for them to do all that?
Very much so. And there will be doctors involved, and in many cases there's testimony involved. And you'd like to think that everything is going to be 100% agreed upon and easy. And those fees were based on it being easy, but it's not always
and
like
then,
that.
And then the judge is going to make two decisions. Who's going to be the guardian of the person, and who's going to be the guardian of the money?
Correct.
And so my wife could be chosen as the guardian of the person, but not of the money, and they could turn it over to Attorney Jones, and now my wife is going to have to pay Attorney Jones to oversee the money if you go through guardianship.
That's
a possibility. That's
exactly a possibility, and the analogy is to your will. You'll be naming someone to be guardian of your children, handle the parenting, as I said earlier, and somebody who will be trustee to handle the money. It's the same thing with the procedure that you just described. The only difference is that you're still alive.
And everybody who thinks that all the assets are joint is ridiculous, because a house can't be sold with both signatures. An IRA is never joint. A 401k is never joint. There's rarely ever a lot of assets other than the checking account or maybe even a brokerage account that you could possibly handle. But there's a lot of assets that are not going to be able to handle.
That's true, and the other part of it is that you don't know who's going to die first. You want powers of attorney for both of them. You want that alternate on there, because a lot of times what will happen is one spouse will die, and then the other spouse is really not competent anymore to execute a power of attorney. So every time a client comes in, we do try to encourage them, and 99% of the time they go along with it, to name someone to serve as their agent under a power of attorney.
Anyway, we're going to take our next pause for traffic. We're going to be right back with Jeff Higdon. This is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Take it away, traffic.
Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. All right, Jeff.
Go ahead. It's Ringo Starr photograph. I think it was written by George Harrison and Ringo Starr.
See?
Boom.
I told you that was so easy, I wasn't even going to try.
What year?
Let's see. That would have been maybe 1971.
I got to give you credit, Jeff. You got the name of that last song, even though nobody told you.
White or Shade of Pale.
Whiter Shade of Pale. What a silly name for a song.
It's classic.
I mean, what kind of drugs were these people taking when they were writing that one? Anyway, music. I got more important things to talk about. Hey, if somebody wanted to talk to you, you know, because you're my lawyer, if somebody wanted to talk to you, how would they get in touch with you?
We have our office in Lutherville.
We'll see if he actually listens to our radio show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we already covered that subject pre-show. But
you can do it on podcast, but go ahead.
Okay. We are located at the York Green Building in Lutherville at 1300 York Road.
That's right at the Beltway in York Road,
basically. Pretty much.
Right across from the Pepper Mill.
If you know the Pepper Mill, we're directly across the street.
Yep. And how do they get in touch with you?
And our website, seriohigdon.com, seriohigdon.com. And everything's there.
And your phone number?
410-828-1946.
So he doesn't listen to us because he didn't say it twice. He always say it twice.
410-828-1946.
All right. That's very good. So anybody wants to talk to Jeff, you can get in touch with him at 410-828-1946 if you want to talk to him about estate planning or anything other things. Jeff, we're on the topic of estate planning still. Two of the most overlooked documents, in my opinion, are young people who turn 18 not having an advance directive. That's the first one. Let's talk about that.
So an advance directive is a document that is, in Maryland, created more or less by the legislature. The form is located in the code. It is really a three-part form. Part one is allows you to select who your health care agent would be to make medical decisions, health care decisions for you, in the event you're unable to make them for yourself. So that's the appointment of healthcare agent. One normally names a spouse or an adult child, and then you name an alternate as well. That's part one. Part two is kind of known as the living will, which is an interesting term because it's not really about living, and it's most certainly not a will, but it deals with your health preferences, your treatment preferences, your treatment choices in the event you find yourself in one of three miserable close-to-death situations. Part three of that form is an after-my-death selection sheet where you can talk about whether you want to be an organ donor and what your funeral arrangements would amount to, cremation, burial, etc. The one that people have the most difficult time with is the second one because they're dealing with, in the event my death is imminent or if I'm in a vegetative state or if I have an end-stage condition where I'm very close to death and no quality of life, what do I want you to do with me and what do I not want you to do with me?
Right. So now why would I say that the most overlooked document is a 18-year-old to 25-year-old that's single and they don't have an advance directive?
And honestly, most of the 18 to 25-year-olds that we deal with won't go near that document. They may name their parent or a brother or sister as their health care agent, but when it comes to
forget about what the children think. Parents, think about from the parents' perspective.
Well, hopefully it would at least allow the discussion to occur, even if there's no desire to sign the document. I mean, the most important thing that that document can do is it can force a discussion where the parents can discuss with the children what the parents' wishes are.
But there's no assurance that when somebody's over 18 that you're going to be able to get the information you need if your child's in an emergency medical situation.
It's so true what you're saying, and I get phone calls, I won't say all the time, but at least a couple of times a year, where the families are calling me and saying, well, did he say anything about cremation or burial? This is kind of important to us because we've never talked to him. And most people would rather talk to their lawyer about these questions than their family members. But we hope that at least it forces the discussion. So we very aggressively try to get at least the client to read the document and to try to think about those choices that they have.
But with the new, with all these HIPAA laws, all these privacy of information laws and so forth, when you have a minor, who, or not a minor, but if you have a child that's over 18 years of
young
age, young adult, and they're going to college or something, and you don't have that advance directive, and you're called into a medical emergency, you're not sure what you're going to get.
You're right. And
sure, we just had that a few months ago. We met with clients, and they were out of town. And their daughter was 20, 21, and some a situation came up, and they were unable to get information. They were unable to be there to give any kind of counsel input into how she was being treated.
Now, every state's different as to where the parents' rights are, but with the document, you go to the highest position. You go to the same as the person who's disabled at that moment in time. So I think that all young people, if their parents have a good relationship with their children, they should try to have that advance directive done, even if it's just done in a simple form.
And we do encourage it. I have to say, though, a very small minority will bring in their children at the same time they bring themselves in or shortly thereafter, even
what
though we
normally
it.
Recommend, Jeff, is to just do the Attorney General's advance directive for the minor children, not for themselves. We always say get a lawyer to do it for yourselves. Why do we say get a lawyer? We say because if a doctor says, you know, hey, Drew, I'm not going to give you the information. I don't like your advance directive, you know, for your wife. I can call you up and I could say, Jeff, you wrote this document. You get down here.
And maybe I don't hear all the war stories that go on with our own clients, but I must say I've never heard that before.
What's so, that?
Where someone would come back and say that a doctor would not honor the advance directive
I've
or
had
doesn't
that
understand.
Before.
We do have it when it comes to powers of attorney, I will say that, but not so much with the advance directives. But it may be that they just work it out without ever calling us. Still.
Well, you know, but that's the first one. The second one is a temporary guardianship.
Right. So we call it a standby guardianship, but we also have a temporary form. But the standby guardianship, I think, is the one that is more important because when you name a guardian in your will...
Well, you've got to explain what this is.
That's fine. So, and it's better to compare it to what's in the will. When you put in your will, here's the guardian of my child and here's the trustee, that's only effective if you die. The will is a worthless piece of paper unless you actually die or when you die. The standby guardian is a document that you can sign that's effective while you're alive but is effective if you become incompetent, unable to parent the minor child.
I'm talking about when the parent goes on a vacation.
Right. So
mother and father go on a vacation for 3 days and they leave the kids with grandpa and grandma.
Right. And these are separate documents, and we encourage every time we have a client that has minor children, we get them to sign both of these forms. Although the one that you're referring to, which is the temporary document, which only applies from, you know, whatever it is,
like I'm going
July 15th to July 31st.
I'm going to Louisiana next week with two of my grandkids,
yes,
14 and 16.
Right.
And something happens, I better have that document.
You absolutely need to have that, and it would be signed by both parents. It would refer to your grandchildren's names, their Social Security numbers, their dates of birth. Yes, and it will say...
And their medical card.
And it will... ideally, you would have them with you. But that would allow you to make medical decisions for them should you need to take them to a health care provider while you're away, yes.
But here's the interesting part of this, is that if there was an emergency situation, all doctors will do will provide life-sustaining treatment, but they won't do things to keep the child into a better medical condition long-term.
Right. The standby guardian and the temporary guardian forms are as important as the powers of attorney.
But rarely do grandparents taking care of their grandchildren ever have that document. And rarely that I know of. Almost everyone I've talked to, they look at me and go, you're kidding. That would happen?
Okay, what I will say is that every client that we have that has minor children have those forms, have filled out those forms. Now, whether they name...
For temporary guardianship?
Yes. They don't sign it and fill that form out, they fill out the standby guardian form. But the temporary one, not only do they have the document in their hands, they also have it on their computers so that they can easily fill it out. If they forget to take it with them, they can get access to it from their email account or whatever it is. But absolutely, we make sure that everyone who has minor children has those forms with them. Now, that particular one, the temporary one, of course, is going to change every time you go somewhere, and they're not always going to name their grandparents.
Yeah, but you the just have to think it out and know that this is a problem when you leave your children with somebody.
It's a very important document.
We're going to traffic. We'll be right back with the last quarter of our show. Take it away, traffic. Pure Prairie Lake. Oh, there you go. I just had to wait.
Oh, yeah, you just had to wait for it.
Right.
Not
wait for it. I wouldn't have known it anyway.
Oh, okay. Maggie May, but not to be confused with the Maggie May on the Beatles' Let It Be album. I'm just saying.
All right, we won't. We won't confuse it. So we're here with Jeff Higdon, and Jeff's a attorney, and he's the attorney that I turn to a lot for the things that are happening with me. Jeff's, you tell everyone how they can get in touch with you again.
410-828-1946. That's 410-828-1946.
And SerioHigdon.com, right?
That is correct.
Serio, SerioHigdon. Like the old typewriter company here in Baltimore. Anybody who ever remembers that, Higdon Typewriter, but that's not your family.
It is not, but we used to have their service contracts, their typewriters in our office.
It had to be related
and
to
their
them
calendars
somewhere
as
along
well,
the
and we
way.
Had to explain that we are absolutely no relation to them, but they were wonderful people.
But you had to be related somewhere along the line,
I
Jeff.
Guess,
come on.
I guess so. I was probably related to you at some point in time.
So tell me. Yeah, it was probably back in the time of Noah, probably, you know.
That explains so much.
Tell me, what would you consider one of the most fascinating cases you've ever worked on?
Wow.
Come on, there's got to be a good story out
there. See, now, when you said you were going to put me on the spot right before the commercial break...
You could have asked that question for you before the break, and you would have had a chance to think about it.
I just assumed it was going to be something musical trivia related. I thought you'd at least be fair about it.
No, come on, there's got to be... You know, lawyer, you know, they got all these lawyer shows on television and everything. It's got to be an interesting one.
I would say one of the more interesting cases that we had took about 7 years to resolve, and it did.
7 years.
It did involve estate administration and to some extent estate planning, and I will not mention the state of the United States in which the case took place because it got a lot of publicity. But the basic rule was that a relative died, and they did not mention their children in their will. And the question was, did they do that intentionally, and did the children have any rights to their rather large estate since the wills were done before they had the children, before, in this case, they adopted the children? And the question was going to become, what were they going to be entitled to? And it was a very sad... very sad set of facts, and the case lasted about 7 years. And
children got nothing.
That's correct.
Really?
That is right.
Because
shouldn't say they got nothing. And as I talked about earlier, when you take advantage of a little bit of non-probate planning, by that I mean name beneficiaries for certain assets. The parents had named the children, for example, on a couple of life insurance policies.
But they just never got around to doing a new will.
Well, we thought that, we were representing other members of the family in the case, and we naturally assumed that they intentionally did not provide. But, you know, it's a good case to bring up because not only does it say how important it is to do that will the first time, is to update the will when things happen, like when you have children, whether they're your natural born or adopted or whatever. And we encourage clients to look at their wills every 3 to 5 years. Give us a call about every 5 years because we're going to ask these types of questions. Or do you still like all the people that you named in the various roles? Are you still happy with age 25 for the children? They're usually not. These days. So that case was very, very interesting, but I think it brings home how important it is not only to have a will, but to update them.
And you made a very good point, too, earlier that beneficiary designations are extremely important because it's been settled that beneficiary designations trump the will.
You could say in your will that the life insurance policy goes to the man in the moon. It won't matter if you've named someone.
Is there a man in the moon? I was looking for Sasquatch at lunch today.
Please don't ask me, you know, trivia about the man in the moon. But in any case, yes, the beneficiary in almost all cases, probably all cases, is going to trump what's in the will.
So now you get to sit here and listen to something that I'm going to tell my listeners about you, okay?
Thank you.
You're just going to sit here and listen. So I'm going to tell an interesting story, my own interesting story about Jeff Higdon. I've had three or four clients who've had no family, virtually no family, nobody to care for them, and I've gone to Jeff Higdon all those times, every single one of those clients who had nobody to care for them, and I said, Jeff, I need you to be the power of attorney. I need you to be the executor. I need you to make the health care decisions for them. And this man treated each one of them as if they were his own mother. He was honest as you could possibly imagine to each one of those clients. And that's one of the reasons why I honor him so much as the lawyer that he is, because he took incredible care of each one of them. It was just amazing how he's done that, and so that's why I just wanted to say that before we finish this show, Jeff.
Thank you so much, Drew. And each one of those was a very good learning experience for me. So I enjoyed the work, and it was tough work, but I learned a lot. So thank you.
The one I'm thinking about was one who early in her life was really felt that said God's going to take care of you, and she was single for a long, long time. Right?
Yeah, she
and,
was.
So
she was 18. She was when she decided she was going to be single for all of her life.
Yeah.
And here we come into her life when she was about 75. And, she was a client for about 6 years when she passed away in that 6 year. And Jeff took care of her all those years of handling her finances in an incredible way, handling the legal side of the finance.
Sure.
We handled the investments and things, but he took care of all the legal things. And so for that, I honor you and appreciate all that you've done for those clients of ours that needed somebody like yourself.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So, Jeff, I've got 1 minute left in the show. You can talk about music if you want to. You can talk about yourself.
We've already talked about Procol Harum. What's possibly left to talk about?
I still don't even know who Procol Harum is. You know,
it is beneficial that I have three older brothers, and I had three older brothers in 1968 or 67, whenever that song came out.
I think I have an over-the-counter drug at
11.
Home. I think I have an over-the-counter drug in my cabinet called Procol Harum. But you've got 1 minute to share something. Well, actually, you only have 40 seconds now to share something about estate planning or legal.
We talked about the living will. The living will just addresses those three circumstances that I mentioned. Your death is imminent, you're in a vegetative state, or you're in end-stage condition. There is another document that we'd like our clients to know about, and it's called the Maryland MOST form, which is Maryland Medical Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment. This is the nuts and bolts document that later in life, or if you're going in for serious surgery, that the hospital is going to stick in front of you, and you'll have to answer all these micromanaging questions, including the CPR questions, including what to do with you if you need antibiotics, et cetera. And it's good to become familiar with that document in advance. We'd like every client to at least look at it and be familiar with those decisions, because they're much tougher.
Yep, that's a good point. I was going to bring up the MOST agreement earlier, but we didn't get to it. So, anyway, appreciate that, Jeff. We appreciate having you tonight. And
we'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. I don't have no idea what we're doing next week, but we'll
we
be back.
Guess. It's an author.
Okay.
There you go.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.